I read this section and I quote the Bible Expositor's commentary on the Pentateuch. It says, and it's talking about idols and about worshiping idols, and it says that man had substituted idols for the true and living God. Amen. Idolatry led to immorality and indecency. And before long, the Gentile world was so corrupt that God had to give them up, give it up. Then he called Abraham the first Jew and made a new beginning. Unquote. Abraham the first Jew. Abraham the first Jew. And if you're not careful, but you can't get hung up on Abraham. That's why we move from our father. When we move from the father, we move on to the him being the first Jew. He was the first to respond. Amen. Abraham was the first to respond to the gospel message, and we know that was the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15, but this is the first sermon. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. He was the first. And if you're not careful, you can get caught up on him. You can't lose focus. Amen. On the physical race. Because what Abraham started was a spiritual race. Amen. Abraham started a spiritual race. And you can't lose focus. Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, John the Baptist tell those scribes and Pharisees, he says, think not to say to yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers. As good as Abraham is, don't base your salvation on just because you kin to Abraham biologically, because it is not the physical seed or the physical race that is important. It is the spiritual race. Amen. You can be born to Abraham. That's not going to send you to heaven just because you are born Jew. You got to be born again. The Living Bible says it this way. Don't try to get by as you are thinking. We are safe, for we are Jews. Amen. We are safe because we are Jews. We are descendants of Abraham. That's what they said. And John the Baptist said, that proves nothing. God can change these stones into Jews. Amen. It does not make any sense. God will change these stones into Jews. So it does not matter about your physical race. It is the spiritual race that is important. You can be kin to Abraham. Amen. But you got to be more than being biologically kin to him. You got to be born again. You got to respond to the gospel. And that's what the message is for us here this morning. We've got to respond to the gospel. Amen. Amen. Notice his response. I'm talking about Abraham's response. God told Abraham in this verse, chapter 12, verse 3c, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And what happened is Abraham responded. Amen. He responded. Abraham departed. He told him to do something in verse 4, and Abraham departed. He was obedient. He acted by faith. Abraham was obedient. And the Bible tells us that he responded. Now, what we got to understand here this morning is simply that Abraham, if you look at Genesis, well, let me just say this first. When we talk about the father of our faith, it means that he was the first one who responded to the promise. Amen. He himself responded. He was the first responder. He was the first one to respond to the gospel message. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And he departed believing what God had said. Well, he was the first responder to that which foreshadowed the gospel. Now, we talk about Abraham's faith. Yes, he had lapse of faith. He didn't believe God would protect him. He didn't believe God would provide. He did not believe always in God's promises. He did not have perfect faith. But we find out in Genesis chapter 22 that we find him responding to that which was most important. In chapter 22, verse 2, he said, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, and get thee up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering." Amen. Offer him as a burnt offering. Amen. Amen. And upon the mountain which I tell thee of. Abraham is called the father of our faith because of what he did there. He offered up a son that was going to be supposed to be the future race. It's just like if I told you that I'm going to have a future race and I only have one boy, and God said, kill the boy that you're supposed to have a future race with. I mean, why would I do that? Why would I kill the boy that I have, and he's supposed to be the one I'm going to get the future race through? Have you ever been, have God ever put you in a bind? Lord, you're telling me to take the son who's supposed to be the one who's going to give me the future race? I don't have, he said, take now thy son, thy only son. This wasn't his only son. Ishmael. He had Ishmael, but Ishmael represented the flesh. But Isaac represented faith. Ishmael represented human works. But Isaac represented supernatural works. One represented humanity. The other one represented that which was heavenly. He was going to kill him. He was about to kill him. If you listen to that other sermon, you'll get the gist of this. Now, he had been told in Genesis 21:12 that through Isaac shall thy seed be. Now, if we look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 17, it says that when God tested Abraham, it was faith that led him to offer his son Isaac. Abraham, the one who received the promise to God that he would give him a future race, was willing to offer his only son for a sacrifice. In order to do that, he had to have faith. He was about to, and the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 18 and 19, God had said to him, through Isaac, your descendants will carry on your name. Through Isaac? Aren't you telling me to kill Isaac? But Abraham believed that God could bring Isaac back from the dead. What did Abraham believe in? The gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is about the death and resurrection. Abraham had to believe in the death and resurrection before he could kill his son. Isn't that? I don't think. Yeah. So what we? And so I'm gonna come back at it. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna take another route. Now the fact of the matter is, Abraham had to be leaving the gospel himself. Now, we know that Isaac was a type or foreshadowed Jesus. In other words, Isaac was a type of Christ. Isaac, thy only son? Amen. Amen. We going on a 3 days journey? Is it getting close? The father gave his only son on a 3 day journey, and he had to believe that he would die and be risen. If that ain't the gospel, I don't know what is. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And Abraham responded by faith when he was about to take his son's life. And he had to be, and that's what you and I have to do to go to heaven. We have to believe in the death and resurrection of his son. Abraham responded, and that's what gave him his claim to fame. It was not those other incidents, but it was when he offered his son was a response to the gospel. And that's how we're saved. It was his dramatic act of faith that got him saved, and that entitling him now to this title, the father of our faith. He's the father of our faith because he got it right in the right place. Amen. Some people make a lot of mistakes, but they get it right in the right places. Amen. Amen. I often say this, you know, about my wife. I said, and since she's ain't here, I may not say it the next service. I said, my wife may not be perfect, but she got it right in the right places. There's a lot of things you can look at and you say, no, 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 no. But she got it right in the right place. And because it got it right in the right place, all those others didn't matter. Because she got it right in the right place. That's the main thing that's holding the whole thing together. Amen. A lot of things wrong, but right on the main thing. And that'll hold everything intact. Have I got a witness? And so the truth of the matter is that you got to get it right in the right place. Abraham was not perfect. He had faults. He had flaws. He faltered, but he got it right on this one. Abraham believed. Now, you may think I made this up. And if I had it on the screen, you could see it for yourself. But if you look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, what you will find is this. Galatians says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach what? The gospel unto Abraham. Now, Jackie, when was the gospel preached to Abraham? I'm asking a question. When was that? I'd like to know. We ain't got time to talk about it. I'd like to know. I think it's worth getting in trouble over. You see, the truth of the matter is, I would like to know when the gospel was preached to Abraham. Now, that's interesting. Because we know that the gospel didn't come until the New Testament. But according to Paul, Galatians chapter 3, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's you and me, through faith, preached the gospel unto Abraham. That's what he said. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. When? Oh, here it is right here. When he said, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Oh Lord, have mercy. We have to. That verse that I'm using this morning. In you shall all families of the earth be blessed was the gospel. And it was gospel. Abraham got the gospel first, and he responded to that gospel when he believed in the death and resurrection of his son. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. The Living Bible says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, this way. What's more, the scripture looked forward to this time when God would save the Gentiles through their faith. Now, we know about Abraham's faith, but what about yours? I got to speed this thing up. The scripture The New Century Version says this: the scriptures telling what would happen in the future said that God would make the non-Jewish people right through their faith. This good news, and that's what the gospel is, was told to Abraham beforehand when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. The NIV says he told him in advance. Now, in order for us to be blessed, we didn't have to keep the law. Because Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, if somebody was hung on a tree, they were cursed. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 21, 23. If they were hung on a tree, they were cursed. And Galatians says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. But guess what? He hung on a tree for us. You see, we're all in the gospel. I'm not unpacking it right. But he said, now, I'm not, the law was a curse because I couldn't keep it. Couldn't you? How many of y'all kept all the Ten Commandments? How many of y'all kept half the commandments? So I guess we're in trouble, aren't we? We in big trouble. But now, what the law did was it put us under a curse because I couldn't keep the law. The law meant judgment. And now I got to get out from under the law because I can't keep it. The law brought judgment. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree according to the law. But Jesus Christ hung on the tree. And when he did that, he delivered us. Now, the Good News Bible say, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Everyone that hangeth on a tree is under a curse. Because you're subject to destruction by God if you don't keep the law. Well, the fact of the matter is, I got to get through this. He says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, the King James, Galatians chapter 3, verse 14 says, Abraham's blessing came to us that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Why? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, we got to walk slow through here because, see, the truth is that what was the promise? Right here it says that the promise, and you got to know it this morning, the promise was the Spirit. Everybody shout Spirit.
Spirit.
Shout it one more time.
Spirit.
For the Holy Ghost.
Spirit.
You have got to have received the promise of the Spirit. God won't come in. You won't get the Spirit. And that's, you got to have the Spirit to go to heaven. Because that's your down payment money. You ever tried to get a house and they said, bring me the earnest money? You read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and you find out, you got to get some earnest money. The Holy Spirit is our earnest money. That's the earnest money. Now, the fact of the matter is, he says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, if I got the Spirit, I don't have to worry. I said I don't have to worry. Amen. You ain't got to be a Jew. You got to believe in Jesus. And then you'll get the inheritance. Because Christ fulfilled the covenant that Abraham was talking about. Now, Jesus, Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I'm not through with the Spirit now. Don't hang up on that part. Don't take that off the table. Don't check that off yet. I'm not through with that one. He said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, over the foretaste of glory divine. Born of his Spirit. Yeah, I'm born of his Spirit. If you don't do nothing else, get born again. It's not about being a Baptist or a Pentecostal or about being a Methodist or about being a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Catholic. You better get, tell your neighbor, you better get born again. Amen. you got to get the promise of the Spirit. God said, my Spirit is coming in. Now, the truth of the matter is that he says that it's not about the physical seed, but the spiritual seed. Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit is the seed. You got to receive the Spirit, and that seals our future. Amen. Amen. And you can only receive it by faith. It's not about works. You receive it by faith, not by works. And it is by faith only. It's not faith and. Have I got a witness? I don't go to church to be saved. I go to church because I got the can't help it. I mess around and got saved. And now you can't keep me out of church. I'm going to somebody's church. I got to do it. I got born again. And that right there is what's important. It's not about these other tags. You better get born again. And that means you got to know that you know what you know. You got to know that I was doing this and I was doing that. And then one day something happened in my heart. And you can't talk me out of it. I'm here to stay. I'm going to serve the Lord. I may not have no church. I'm going to serve him. I may not have no choir. I'm still going to serve him. I may not have nowhere to preach. I'm still going to serve him. Oh, you got to receive the Spirit. Now, the fact of the matter is that they sang a new song, and I don't have it on the board, but what it says, they sang a new song, and the song they sang was this: you're worthy to take the scroll and break open the seal, for you were killed, and by your sacrificial death, you bought, purchased, redeemed for God's people from every tribe, language, nation, and race. Abraham started a race, a spiritual race. I'm glad to be in the service one more time. One more time. One more time. I'm glad to be in the service. And you know what? You didn't have to come. Have I got a witness? You could have stayed at home and I would have still been at church. Because I'm glad to be in the service. One more time. We're going to go straight to class, but I got two more things I want to tell you. Now, the fact of the matter is that you have to have the Spirit. You have to receive the Spirit. And that's why I'll be saying, oh, how I love Jesus. You got to have a response. You got to respond to Jesus because he first... Now, he responded to what God wanted. Now, we got to respond to him. And so, what I'm going to say to you right now is that you got to marry somebody who has the Holy Spirit. Not going to get the Holy Spirit. Thank you. They already got the Holy Spirit. Because he has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That word Abba, Ken Taylor said, means dear. Eugene Peterson says that it means Papa. Have we got a witness? Papa. Father. Amen. How do you want to do it? Amen. You got to have that. But do you believe, is the question, in God? Do you believe in God? Now, one theologian put it this way. I'm not saying do you believe in the existence of God. When you ask folk, do they believe in God? They say, yes, we all believe in God. Some people say, I believe in God. You know that they're saying, I believe that God exists. But that's not what I'm asking you. Do you believe in God enough to make him enter into your life? I'm not talking about existence. I know a fool can look at this world and see that there's a God somewhere. Over my head, I hear music in the air. There must be a God somewhere. I may not want to make him my God. But you can't tell me when I go to the roses and look at the roses and look at the apples and oranges, and you can't tell me. You cannot convince me. Oh, you know what people don't, you know what the problem people is, that people, you gotta accept God. You gotta believe God, accept. You gotta make him your Lord and Savior. You gotta let him have entrance into your life. You gotta tell him, come in. You gotta tell him, come control me. You gotta tell him, change me. That's what I want him to do. I want him to change me. But there's so many people who won't respond. You know what Johnson did 20 years ago? She responded. She was the first one to see a need and responded to it. She said, you know what? We need a nurse's ministry. And I'm not going to say send so-and-so. You know how folks say, well, we need this. Well, you going to do it? No, I ain't available. I don't want to lead it. I'll go. That ain't what God needs. He wants to hear some here am I send meals. He want to know, will you stand at the door? If you say you need some urges, will you get up off of yours and the blessed assurance that you have? And would you go to the door or send somebody to the door? Who will be the first to respond to a need in their church, in God's world, on God's program? When you see a need, we need some responders. We don't need no informers. Everybody know we need it. We want to know who's going to do the heavy lifting. But I found out most folk looking for a church where they can relax. I'm going to make you mad. Most folk go where they are not needed. They want to go where everything's already done. So I can just ease in and enjoy and ease on out. Most folk go. People are motivated by self, by status. They're motivated not by souls. They're not motivated by service. They're looking for a church that'll serve them. Oh, I done made you really mad now. I ain't going to get no money for my building fund. Well, the fact of the matter is, they want to be personal instead of being purposeful. They don't want to, amen, do ministry. They want to do me. It's something I want to do. Oh, I don't. Well, the fact of the matter is, it's not about ministry for them. It's about me. Folk are more concerned about status. I'm going to go. They're more concerned. But we're looking. People are motivated by the wrong things. You need to be motivated by service. And that don't mean serve us. Rick Warren would say, service don't mean serve us.